thank God for it. But if you have your Bibles this evening, you'll find the reading in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. And when you have found your place, I ask that you'd stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversion received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Dear Lord, we just ask you to have your will and way over the remainder of this service, God. Once again, we lift up all the people on the prayer request list, God. We lift up our pastor and his family as they're away on vacation, Lord. I pray that you'll just help everyone to be obedient, God, and to be listening for your voice, Lord. I just pray that you'll have your will and way, God. Keep everybody safe as they leave the place, Lord. And I thank you for allowing everybody to be here to worship again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So today, I just haven't been able to get away from the blood of Jesus. And I thought about it all week. And then when Darren had asked me to preach, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's what God had wanted me to preach. And so dating back to the beginning of the time, the importance and prophecy of Jesus' blood was made known. And it was revealed. We know that in the book of Genesis chapter 3, God shed innocent blood in order to clothe Adam and Eve from animal skins. And that piece of scripture foreshadows. I think I have my mic muted. I apologize. That piece of scripture foreshadows what Jesus will later do when he sheds his blood for us. Because Jesus is going to cover and clothe us just like he did Adam and Eve. But we'll get into that a little bit later. But we also know that the story of Cain and Abel. We know that Cain offered up fruit unto the Lord as a sacrifice from the ground. But Abel, knowing that what blood meant to the Lord, he offered up a lamb. And that is another foreshadowing of what God is going to do for us. Because he only accepted the lamb that Abel brought. God didn't accept the fruit as a sacrifice. And you may be wondering, why is that? And the Bible says here in the book of Hebrews, I'm going to turn there, and I believe that if you believe in highlighting your Bible, that this one very well should be highlighted. Because it is one of the best of the best, I do believe. I believe I have it highlighted from when Pastor Darren has preached it before. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." And we know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for our sins this evening. And if you believe in highlighting, like I said, I believe this verse is the verse you want to highlight, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's important this evening. And throughout the book of Genesis, if you read on, we see God called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, a son that he'd been longing for and praying for, and a son he'd been yearning for all these years, and God had called him up to sacrifice him. And after these years, Abraham, he stepped out on faith, and as he went up on the mountain to sacrifice his son, we know that God sent in a substitute sacrifice. Right as he was about to sacrifice his own son, a little ram in the thicket started bleating out, and he was able to sacrifice that instead. And like I said earlier, I believe this is just another foreshadowing of what God did for us. He offered a substitute sacrifice. You and I should have been just like Isaac. You and I should have been sacrificed and on our way to hell, but God offered his only son as a Lamb of God to substitute and take our place, just like he offered up that ram for Isaac. And I believe that is important. And later, if you keep reading about the blood of Jesus and how spotless and perfect the blood of Jesus is, You'll see in the book of Exodus chapter 12, on the night of the Passover, God said that if there was blood on the door, He would pass over. He's looking for the blood when He was speaking to the people of Egypt. And I believe that God was looking for the blood to be applied on the door. Just like tonight, God's looking for the blood to be applied in your life. God's looking to see if you have the blood applied. And I believe that that is of the utmost importance. You need to know that you have the blood applied in your life. That's going to bring me to my first point. Jesus' blood, it brings us redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." It's through the shedding of Jesus' blood on Calvary that we are redeemed forevermore. And I thank God for that. The Bible says that He has given us eternal redemption through His blood. And it's through that. It's not the blood of a goat or a calf like we had seen before in the Old Testament, but it's the sacrifice of the perfect, sinless Lamb of God who would take our sins upon the cross. We see that it had to be, in the Old Testament, many times redemption was deliverance from bondage, and it had to be paid for by a Redeemer. And I just want to thank God tonight that I know who my Redeemer is. Somebody, I was at college a few months back, and it was freezing cold. We was in a snowstorm real bad, and I was being lazy and did not want to take my trash out for nothing. And I had set my trash out on the balcony of my apartment complex and hid it away. And I said, I'll get it tomorrow. And then it was freezing cold the next day. I said, I'll get it tomorrow. And finally, I put my boots on and my Carhartt and my little beanie and walked outside. And I went to go get the trash, got warmed up, and I looked out there at the corner, and somebody took the trash out for me. So I asked all my friends and everybody who I thought might be kind enough to do that for me. I said, "Did you take my trash out for me?" Because, I mean, it made my day. I was thinking, wow. And it was absolutely killing me. I never figured out who it was. I never knew who took the trash out for me, and I was wondering. And I still am to this day who it was. But I thank God tonight that I know who paid my sin debt. I know who my Redeemer is. I don't have to be left wondering, you know. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and I know who paid my sin debt. And I know who the Redeemer is. And if you don't know Him, you know, like me, I didn't have a clue who took my trash out, and I still don't. And it's ate at me because I want to thank Him. I want to do something for Him. But Jesus, I know who redeemed us, you know, and I thank God I'm not left wondering. And I'm just thankful that I know the Alpha, the Omega, and the beginning and the end, you know, the spotless Lamb of God, the one who can bring someone out of the miry clay, the pits of sin, you know, the same God that can bring you out of addiction or bring you wherever you are. I'm thankful that He's redeemed us. You know, the God that can take your sin, your struggle, your pride, and He can humble you, and He can save your soul and redeem you from going to the devil's hell. I thank God that I know who that is tonight. And the Bible says that He's given us eternal redemption. And praise the Lord for that, because back in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, it says in verse 12, you don't have to turn there. I'll just go ahead and warn you, if you're going to try to keep up with me, buckle up, because I have a lot and it's hard to keep up myself. But in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." I see that word eternal redemption, and I don't believe the word eternal got added in there by mistake, and it's not to be blotted out by anyone or anything, and I believe it's important, because if you're saved and redeemed this evening, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's better than any Sharpie you could ever think of, any permanent marker you could ever write your name with. You could give the devil a whole 8 quarts of white out, and he couldn't blot it out if he tried. Because your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you've been redeemed this evening, you'll never have it to be taken out. I thank God that I can rest assured knowing that I have peace in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't have to lay awake at night and worry, because my sins were forgiven on the cross, and it was finished right then and there. God saved my soul, and I thank God for it. It can't be blotted out. And it's important here to realize that redemption is necessary as a Christian today. In the fallen world we live in, and the society we live in today, I'm telling you, I need redemption every single day. The world's only getting bad. I mean, I hear people every day say that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And half of these people, I'm not even sure they believe in hell or believe in Jesus, and they're saying it. So you know it's getting real bad when everybody's starting to realize what's going on in the world. It's bad. It's not doing good. Church, we need redemption. And I'm here to tell you that God is not finished. God's still working on you. He's still working on me. And He's still in the saving and the redeeming business. And we as Christians, we should be holding on to the promises that there won't be no suffering anymore and no pain in this old world. It's all temporary when we get up to heaven. And I'm longing for a day. I believe we as Christians ought to be longing for a day that the redemption is a, that we can live with the one who redeemed us. You know, we can go to heaven without pain, without sorrow, without being sad. It's all joy. I think about walking the streets of gold with my loved ones, my grandfather that I never got to meet, or my great-grandpa, or the many loved ones that's died and gone. I can't wait to go up there and live with my Redeemer, the one who has picked me up out of the miry clay. I just thank God for it. Not only does Jesus' blood redeem us, secondly, Jesus' blood brings us reconciliation. Tonight, I want to talk about how since the moment the fall of man took place, we as humans, we knew that we needed to be reconciled by God. It's important. We should understand that it takes reconciliation, and God did that for us. It's through the redemption that God has given us that we can be reconciled through God. It's through sending Jesus to the cross that we were reconciled. And as I was researching, studying, the dictionary was saying that reconciliation means that two parties are coming to the same position. And it always, I put this in capital letters, it always involves change. Now, church, we know tonight that God is perfect, He's spotless, He's without sin, He's all-knowing, He's the Alpha and the Omega. So it makes you wonder, it said it always involves change. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, it changed me. I was the one that needed change. And you were the one that needed change. You may be thinking, this old preacher saying, it was me that needed change. Yes, it was. It was you that needed to change, and it was me. I still need to be changing, you know. I still need to be doing stuff to better my relationship with the Lord, just like we all do. It's a working, God's still a working on us, and I thank God for it. You know, I thank God that He changed me. You know, I was somebody, I grew up in church my whole life. I went to all kinds of Bible schools. I was there every Sunday, every time the doors were open. I was blessed with that. But I was still lost, and I finally got saved and accepted Jesus into my life. And people may be thinking, you know, you have the same story as me. You grew up in church. Where did that change come from? Because, you know, you may not see too much of the change on the outside because I still go to church like I used to. But I tell you, the change happened in my heart when Jesus moved in. When you're changed, it happens on the inside, and it'll start working its way to the outside. People will see something different about you. But I promise you tonight, God will bring change to your life. And that is the amazing thing about this reconciliation I'm talking about, because it ain't nothing that we could do to change ourselves. I could try, I could continue to try, but my old flesh will fail me over and over again. I can lay awake at night, but I know that if I give it to God, God will change me. God will put that desire in my heart. And it's through His mercy and grace that I know I've been changed. And I want to thank God that I ain't what I once was. You know, to many people, they might not think I was real, you know, because I grew up in church, this and that. But you know what? I was still lost. I was just as lost as the person out on the street on drugs who needed Jesus. I was just as lost as somebody who was out in the world just wrecking it up. I was lost. We all needed the same God. And I thank the Lord that He changed my heart and He changed my desires and He kept me from some of those things. I've been blessed, you know, that God's been in my life and He's been working on me. And I've had a family that's prayed for me since I come in this world. Tonight I want to say that we have fellowship with God because of this reconciliation. It's through the shedding of Jesus' blood. And I've got good news for you tonight. Because we've been reconciled to God, because of Jesus' work on the cross, we can pray, we can call out to God, and He hears our prayers. God is listening to you when you call out. And I think that He's there. God still speaks to us, and He guides us through our life. And He walks with us, He talks with us. I thank God that I serve a living God. You know, you were forgiven on the cross, and through this forgiveness, the Bible says that He calls us friends. And I thank God, what a powerful piece of Scripture that God could call a sinner like us, somebody so unworthy, He could call you friend. And you know what that means? That means we don't need an intermediary priest, or we got direct access to God. It's quicker than any phone line you could ever think of. When I need God, I'm glad to know that I can just call Him up. I can pray and call out to God, and I'm glad to know that I have friends and I have a church and I have family that I trust, that when I ask them to pray for me, they're calling and they're getting through to the Lord. That you don't have to sit there and wait on a phone line there. God's omnipresent, I believe that, and I believe He hears everybody. And I thank God for praying people, the saints of God that was praying for me. And I thank Him for praying for these people on the prayer list. It's like Brother Jim was saying, it seems like left and right, God's answering prayers, and that's because it's the truth. God's still answering prayers today, and He'll still be answering prayers tomorrow. It's time that we be faithful to praying, because we've been reconciled back to God. And I thank the Lord that I just don't serve a God who's dead. I serve a God who's living and who's living within us. Because, hallelujah, Jesus is alive and well tonight. And if you've accepted Him into your heart, He lives within you. And you've got a light inside of you that not even the devil can blot out. Not even he can take that light away. If you've been truly saved and born again, you're walking around with a light inside of you. And I thank God for that this evening, that there is a light inside of me that comes from Jesus. It's nothing that I could do. I just thank God that he's given me a light and given us a light in this dark and dying world. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sons..." I believe that, thirdly, not only does his blood redeem us and bring us reconciliation, but Jesus' blood releases us from the hold that the devil once had on us. I'm here to preach to you tonight and tell you on salvation, to see somebody accept the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There ain't nothing he hates more. Satan doesn't want you to learn about the blood. He hates it. He doesn't want you to learn about any of it. He's terrified of it. Because you know why the devil's scared of it? It's because he knows he can't defeat the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil knows he can't defeat you because Jesus lives within you. I thank God the devil's a defeated foe tonight. And it just gives my soul joy to know that I'm on the winning side. I got Jesus in my heart and I thank God for it. The devil knows he can't defeat you. It's the precious blood of the Lamb. It's through that we can overcome Satan. And I just thank him for that. The Bible says in the book of Revelations 12:10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." I'm going to read that again. It said, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." Church, I'm telling you tonight, the only way to overcome the devil, the only way you have any power over him whatsoever, is through the blood of the precious, precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that fires me up. I was thinking on it all day. I thank God. I'm serious. I thank God that he was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That we're not fighting against somebody who has any power over us anymore. It's comforting to know that the devil don't have power over you if you're a saved Christian. And I know this ain't too easy to hear, but if you sin... You don't really, the devil can, he can tempt you and he can try to cause you to sin, but if you sin, it's ultimately you that sinned. You really don't have anybody to blame but yourself. And we know that the devil can tempt you, but it's you. Live your life like you have been released from the hold. Like I was saying, we've been released. I know once before the devil had a hold on my life and I just didn't quite know it. I lived my life thinking I was saved because I grew up in church, but I thank God that I was released from it on that day when I called upon his name. And I was changed forevermore. Jesus' blood has given you victory over the devil. And that ought to fire us up. I like to think that Jesus is absolutely, he's kicked the devil's rear end, and I thank God for it. It just blesses my soul. It fires me up to know that the devil has been defeated. He thinks he's still won. He thinks he's still got a fighting chance. But he doesn't. Thank God tonight that he's defeated and we have victory. Church, we ought to be living in the victory of Christ because the devil ain't got a hold on us no more. He may think he does, but he don't. And I thank God that he don't have a hold on me anymore. We ought to start living like it. Now I'm talking to myself too. I get down and out and I think, oh, you know, I got to go to work today. This and that. But let me tell you right now, it's time to wake up and live in the victory of Christ. I thank God, like I said, I ain't what I once was. I used to, should have woke up defeated knowing that God wasn't in my heart because there ain't nobody to cry out to. There ain't nobody to help you in a time of need. But now I've got Jesus. I've been reconciled. I've been redeemed. I've been released from the hold that the devil had on my life, and I thank God for it. Fourthly, tonight, lastly, I believe that the blood of Jesus rinses us from our sin. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you have committed. It don't matter how much bad you think you've done. The blood of Jesus cleanseth it all. And I thank God for it. There is no sin that he didn't die for when he took up our sins and he hung on that old rugged cross. And I'm telling you, church, that was my sins. That was your sins that put him up on the cross. That was us. We're the reason he had to go. He was born to die. You know, he was born to be the perfect sacrifice. And I heard someone say this one time. He said, not only did Jesus remove the punishment of sin, but he also removes the pollution. And that's the truth tonight, church. We have been forgiven. Many times, we as Christians, we refuse forgiveness like it's something that we can earn. But there ain't nothing you can do to earn Jesus' mercy, grace, and love. It's a gift that Jesus has given us. And I thank God that he forgave me by dying on the cross. It's a gift from God, and we need to start acting like it's a gift. We need to start accepting His forgiveness, you know. A lot of us, we come down here and we ask for forgiveness, and then we pick it right back up and we walk away. I had this analogy, and the Lord brought it to my mind just now, but I like to think of when you're out and about and you're going to an airport and you got to fly somewhere. And I know some of us don't like to fly, but I'm sure we at least are familiar with the airport system, and it's like the baggage claim. It goes in a big old line, and it comes right back around. And I believe a lot of us are bad this evening to come up here to the altar, and we'll say, God, please forgive us forgive me for what I've done, Lord. I just want to be changed. Forgive me, Lord. And we'll say we're going to leave it with God, and then we pick it right back up when the baggage claim comes right back around, and we take it back with us. Church, we need to leave it at the altar. We need to leave it to God's feet, and we need to lay it down there because God has forgiven us, and I thank Him for that. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us all from sin." Hallelujah for that. That verse. There's a lot to unpack in that verse. We can walk in light. We can fellowship with one another. It's because God has reconciled us with Him that we can fellowship as Christians with one another. You know, we all got something in common. And I thank Him for that. The Bible also says in the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood." I'm glad that my sins are gone, and I've been cleaned, and I've been washed in the blood. God's rinsed me with His precious blood, and I thank Him for that. You know, I never did really think that deep on how powerful Jesus' blood was till I got to studying for this message, and I started tracing how important it was from the beginning of the Bible to the end, and how important that blood truly is. And I was at work the other day, and we were heading down the mountain, down to McDowell County, that dreadful mountain. I know y'all probably drove it, and I'm sure you dread it just as bad as I do. I can't stand going down that. And I was going down the mountain, and I saw this traffic for a second forming, and I thought, well, I immediately got down and out. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm about to sit here for hours with no phone service, you know. And I get over there, and I see that this, right as soon as we got there, this 18-wheeler had wrecked, and he'd flipped over. And we were the very first people there, and I've never been up on anything like that in my life, but we quickly got out, and I ran up this embankment to where this fella had been, where he'd wrecked, and I thought, I thought, oh Lord, he's died. God be with him. Help him. I mean, it was a bad situation. I go up there, and I sprint up on this embankment, and I said, sir, are you okay? Are you okay? And he said, I'm all right. You know, I just want to get out of here. He'd been trapped up in this 18-wheeler, and there was blood everywhere. And I got back in the vehicle, and I got to looking down. I was plumb filthy from going through all the thickets and stuff, and I looked down, and I had a little bit on my hands, and I started thinking, I got to get this off of me. What in the world? I've got this blood on me, and I was praying for that fellow. That was the last thing I said to him. I said, I'll be praying for you, and I looked down at my hands, and I had this a little bit of blood. So when we got to where he was going, bless the Lord, I went to the bathroom, and I scrubbed my arms from all up to here and there in my hands, and the Lord started working with me, and He started talking to me about that. Because I had that fellow's blood on me, I thought, shoo, I got to get this off of me. And God said, my blood's covered you. God said, my precious blood that I shed on Calvary's Hill has covered you. It's because of my blood that you're able to live today and help others out. It's because my blood you can go to heaven and you ain't got to suffer in the devil's hell. It's because my blood you can have joy this morning. It's because my blood you can wake up in the morning. And God got all over me. I couldn't quit. It tore me up in the car. And the Lord just started dealing with me about how precious His blood was. I'd never even thought about it. You know, it ain't like us. It ain't like how I believe, I don't even know, my parents probably know, I hope at least, I think I'm A positive or something, but you know, when somebody needs blood, I can't donate to everybody, and I can't donate to a bunch of people, but I thank God that Jesus was a universal donor. Jesus can donate to each and every one of you tonight. Jesus is able to cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you'll just get washed in His blood. It's like a song. Praise God for it. Thank you for singing it, Seth. Are you washed in the blood? That's important tonight. You need to be washed in the blood. It's a fountain that cleanseth all. It's a fountain that cleanseth every sin you've ever had, every sin you ever committed. Jesus has died for it, and He paid the ultimate price on the cross, a price that we can't pay. You know, God, He paid for our ransom, a ransom that there was no way we could ever pay it off, because our flesh, we can't do it. We just can't, but with Jesus, we can. And I got to thinking, the next time that Jesus comes, there won't be no shedding of blood. Because He's coming to claim His bride. Jesus is coming to get back the blood bought and the redeemed. And He's looking just like He was that night when He went into Egypt. He was looking at the Passover for the blood to be on the door. He was looking for that blood to be applied. And I want to ask you this evening, have you had that blood applied to you? Because He was the ultimate, a perfect, spotless, universal donor for all. And all you have to do is accept Him. That's the thing. I got to thinking as I was studying for this message, God was all over me. And I'm telling you, I got to thinking that if I, God forbid, one of us got in a wreck out here and we had lost a lot of blood like that fella, and they said, you need a blood transfusion, I don't think you'd be laid up sitting there saying, hey, it can wait. It can wait. I might not even get it. I won't worry about it. No, I think you'd have some urgency to get that blood. And I started thinking, us as Christians, we ought to have some urgency to be getting that blood applied to everybody we know. We ought to be telling the people on the streets, people that are lost that we know, our loved ones that are hell-bound, we ought to have some urgency, because just like he could die from out without that blood transfusion that he got, I want you to know that you're dying on your way to hell if you ain't got that blood. And I'm telling you, you have to be sealed. It's already been bought and paid for. Just you got to accept it. God's willing to donate to you tonight if you'll just accept it and be transformed. You know, it ain't a transfusion with God, it's a transformation. And I thank God for it, that He transformed me. And it's urgent. I'm telling you, it's urgent that the blood is applied so that you can inherit eternal life. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't think it. I'll just get it situated tomorrow, because the blood needs to be applied. You won't get into heaven without accepting the blood of Jesus and being washed in it. I thank the Lord for that. He's calling you. He wants to wash you in His blood. He wants to help you, church. And none of us know how close we are to death. Here I was sitting on the top of the mountain about to complain, getting some type of way. I thought, I'm about to sit in traffic, this and that. And little did I know how blessed I was to be still sitting upright in my vehicle, because I looked and it was an elderly old man. It was all I could do just to think about what he might be thinking, trapped in that truck. I know he felt helpless, and I think a lot of us are like that. You know, we're trapped. We're trapped tonight in a truck full of sin. We're trapped on a mountainside somewhere, and we're just waiting for is a little bit of blood transformation from Jesus. All we're waiting for is to have the blood applied to us. I just thank God for that. You know, I'm telling you tonight, I just beg of you that if you've never been redeemed, now Jesus' blood, it'll redeem you. It'll reconcile you back to the Lord. It'll release you from the hold that the devil has on you. And it'll wrench you. It's unlike any bath you've ever taken. It's unlike anything. You couldn't go in the bath and wash yourself enough times to even compare to the washing of the blood that Jesus has done for us. I thank God that when we go up and we stand before Him, we're going to stand up there. Our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. Our sins are blotted out. You can't look and see sins. When you know, our sins are in the past, and the past is the past. I thank God for that. I'm thankful that I don't have to look back. You know, the accuser of the brethren, it's just like that song says, he likes to bring up things you've done. He likes to bring up all the hurt and all the sin that you had in your past. But I thank God tonight that I don't have to worry about that, because Jesus has paid for that sin. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to sit and think about what I once was. I like to think about how God changed me and He brought me from that. That's the only way we ought to be looking back on it, is bringing victory to Jesus' name. We ought to not let our prior past and our stuff get us down, because God has brought us from that. You know, that's a testimony. That's something that can change somebody else's life if you'll tell it. You know, maybe tell somebody where God brought you from. Each and every one of us has a testimony tonight if we have let the Lord in our hearts. And really, even if you haven't, you still have some sort of a testimony. It just ain't finished yet. I'm telling you, each and every one of us has had to have a time and place where we accepted the Lord into our hearts. And I just thank God for that blood transformation that He gave me. And I think that you just need, if you've never been saved, to let the universal donor change you, because He sure did mine, amen. I thank God. Can I get a witness? Has He changed your life? Has God changed your life when He bought you with the precious blood? Thank God for that precious blood. I couldn't get it off of it. I was reading so much different scripture. I was like, I can't preach all this scripture in one time. And I was worried half to death about it. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to decide on. And I finally felt peace about preaching 1 Peter. But I was texting Luke about it. We text back and forth sometimes when we're studying them. And Luke said, you got all the time you need to preach a patch. He's like, just preach it all. Thank God I didn't do that for y'all tonight, because we'd probably be here for a few more hours. But I just thank God for speaking to my heart about that blood. I had never thought of it like that, and I never thought of how important it was that Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, sacrificed Himself. He came to earth to die for us, and it really brought things in perspective. Here I said, dirty and filthy, and I went and washed that blood off my hands. But that's how I once was. I was dirty and filthy, and then God washed me with His blood, and He made me spotless, so I can stand up at the judgment seat knowing that I'm spotless. And I just thank God for that. Seth, if you would, just come play a little bit of an invitation for us. Like I said, I had so much scripture this evening, and I tried to really get to everything that I had on my heart. And there's some stuff that I still would like to preach one day if the Lord allows it. But I'm just thankful for that blood. And if you look throughout Scripture and you see, from the beginning of time, it was prophesied that Jesus would die and that it would take the shedding of His blood. And I wonder tonight if there's anybody here that maybe hasn't ever been transformed by that blood, or you never accepted the blood of Jesus fully into your life. You've heard about it, but you never took it too serious. You never placed much urgency on it. Maybe you're that guy who's in need of it, but you're sitting there thinking, it can wait, it can wait. I'll get it tomorrow. It ain't nothing to wait on, church, I'm telling you. The world ain't doing too hot, in case you haven't noticed. And I believe maybe there's some of us here that just want to thank God for the blood. You know, I urge you maybe come to the altar and thank God for what He's done in your life. And thank Jesus for sacrificing Himself so that we can go to heaven. I thank God for all He's done. And I thank the Lord that He's still working on us, church. I thank Him that He's still molding us into who we need to be. And He's still covering us with all His mercies and grace. Church, we don't deserve to be sitting in this pew tonight. We don't deserve to have the church family we do. Church, we're so blessed with a pastor. I thank God for Pastor Darren and all these years that I've grown up being taught about Jesus' blood being shed for me and you. And I thank God for His faithfulness and preaching to us, church. We don't deserve none of it. I'm telling you, the only thing we deserve was hell. And that's where I was on my way to until that blood was applied to my life. And I just want to thank God, church. Maybe you want to thank Him too for applying the blood to your life and changing you forevermore. I thank Him that I'm reconciled. I'm reconciled so I can speak to God any time or day. That I got a direct line to Him. I don't need nobody to speak on my behalf. I can speak straight to God because God sent His Son and reconciled us. I'm thankful for that this evening.